الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يرغب عن ملة إبراهيم إلا من سفه نفسه ولقد اصطفيناه في الدنيا وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين إذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت لرب العالمين صدق اللہ مولانا العظیم وصدق رسوله النبی الامی الكریم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاہدین والشاکرین والحمد للہ رب العالمین رب اشرح لی صدری ویسر لی امری واحلل عقدۃ من لسانی یفقہ قولی سبحانک لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انک انت العلیم الحکیم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى اله واصحابه واتباعه وازواجه وذرياته امام مسلم رحمہ اللہ تعالی ان امام بخاری رحمہ اللہ تعالی has narrated a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam which is known as the hadith of Jibreel. Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala narrates this hadith on the authority of Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And Hazrat Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala narrate this hadith on the authority of Hazrat Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Both great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In this hadith, Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam comes into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in human form as a stranger. Umar الله تعالى عنه says, بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, whilst we were sat in the company of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, إذ طلع علينا رجل, when suddenly a person appeared in front of us. We saw a person coming from far. Shadidu bayadi thiyab, shadidu sawadi shi'ar. His clothes were pure white and his hair were pure black. In those, when a person used to undertake a journey from one place to another, then his clothes would not remain pure white. They would become dusty. Similarly, his beard, his hair on the head would not remain pure black. They would also become dusty. So, shadido bayadi siyab, shadido sawadi shi'ar. This person who appeared from nowhere, this person that we saw coming towards this majlis of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, was in very clean clothes. The clothes were not dusty. The clothes were not sweaty. Pure white. And the hair of his beard, the hair on his head, were pure black. The beard was not dusty, the head was not dusty. So this indicated that this person was not a traveler. This person was from the people of Madina Munawwara. Because if he was a traveler, if he was a stranger, if he had come from outside, then his clothes would not have been so clean. His hair would not have been pure from dust. But Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says the strange thing was, وَلَا يَعْرِفُهُ مِنَّا أَحَدٍ. The clean clothes and the clean hair indicated that he was not a person from outside. But the strange thing was that none of us knew him. وَلَا يَعْرِفُهُ مِنَّا أَحَدٍ. And if none of us knew him, then he had to be a person from outside. So because he was a person not known to us, he had to be from outside. But because he was very clean, that indicated that he was not a traveler, he was not a stranger. So he was from the people of Madina Munawwara. So everybody was wonderstruck. Who is this person? He is not from Madina Munawwara. And if he has come from outside, why is it that he is so clean and bright? We were wonderstruck and we were still wondering in regard to this scenario when we noticed that he has already approached the majlis of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he has come right in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he has sat right in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hatta jalasa ila an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he sat so close, fa asnada rukbatayhi ila rukbatayhi. He sat so close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that his knees were touching the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَوَضَعَ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَىٰ فَخِذَيْهِ. And he placed his palms, his hands on his thighs. He sat respectfully in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From this we learn certain adab, certain etiquettes. And friends, etiquettes are very, very important. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question a person for omitting an adab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question a person for not carrying out a deed which is mustahab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question a person for not carrying out a deed which is a sunnah. Because sunnah is not compulsory. Mustahab is not compulsory. And adab is also not compulsory.
But that does not mean that sunnah is not important. That does not mean that mustahab is not important. That does not mean that adab is not important. Fard is fard. It is compulsory. Wajib is wajib. It is incumbent. We have no choice. If we do not carry out a deed which is fard or which is wajib, we will be answerable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it is compulsory, it is obligatory, it is incumbent. When it comes to a sunnah act, a mustahab act, act which is merely an adab, an etiquette, we will not be questioned in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But as I said, that does not mean that these actions are not important. In this day and age, this is the trend. If I do not do this, will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala question me on the day of Qiyamah? If the answer is no, then it's not important. Before carrying out any action, any deed, in this day and age, especially the new generation, this is the first question they ask in their minds. Is this compulsory? Is this incumbent? Is this obligatory? If I do not carry out this deed, am I answerable in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Am I liable for punishment? If the answer is no, then it is not important. It is not so, my friends. This is not what we find in the life of the prophets. This is not the behavior we find in the lives of the Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alihi Majma'in. This is not the culture that we find in this As-Salafus Salihin. When we look at the lives of the Salaf, the Muhaddithin, the Mufassirin, the ulama-i haqqa, when we look at the lives of the sahaba-i kiram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, when we look at the lives of the anbiya alayhi musallatu wassalam, when we look at the life of the sayyidul mursaleen Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we find that they were haris for amal, haris for ilm and haris for amal. They were haris fil ilm, haris fil amal. They were greedy. Greedy for ilm, greedy for amal. Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah ta'ala, Amirul Mu'mineen fil hadith. His book is the most authentic book after the Quran and Majid. Asahul Kutubi ba'da kitabillah. In the month of Ramadan, to perform Taraweeh is Sunnah. And to read the whole Quran in Taraweeh is another Sunnah. So there are two Sunnahs. One is to read the Taraweeh Salah. And second is to complete the whole Quran in Taraweeh. This is the second Sunnah. There are two Sunnahs in Taraweeh. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala used to perform Taraweeh. And in Taraweeh, he would complete the whole Quran during the whole month of Ramadan. So this is one completion of the Quran. So he performed Taraweeh, which was Sunnah, and he also recited the whole Quran in Taraweeh, which is Sunnah, either to recite the Quran or to listen to the whole Quran. Either of the two is Sunnah. Other than this recitation, any extra recitation of the Quran is not Sunnah. It is optional devotion. It is something that is preferable in the month of Ramadan. So if it is something preferable, if it is something optional, what would be our state? We would have concluded that one Quran is enough in Taraweeh. Other than that, we will try to complete the Quran. One juz, two juz, three juz, four juz. In my childhood, when I was in my village where I was born in India, where people were not so knowledgeable, but in the month of Ramadan, right from morning Fajr until Maghrib, between Maghrib and Isha, people would go home for Futur to have food. But from Fajr until Maghrib, almost you would see the masjid occupied with people reciting the glorious Quran. Immediately after Fajr, you would see dozen, two dozen, three dozen, according to the size of the village. Until Ishraq, until after Ishraq, people would start going home, but you'd see one odd person sitting in this corner or that corner. And when he decides to leave by 9 o'clock, then the person who was rested will come back. The masajid were inhabited by people, by those who used to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they had value for not only the faraid, not only the wajibat. They valued the sunan actions, they valued the mustahab actions, and they also valued the adab. In this day and age, because we have no value for sunan, we have no value for mustahabbat, we have no value for optional actions, people come in the masjid in the last minute. Those people who are in the masjid 15 minutes, 20 minutes before salat would find lot of enjoyment in just standing at the back and chatting about politics, worldly affairs, this matter, that matter. Out of 24 hours, we cannot find 1 hour and 15 minutes for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house. We cannot spend 15 minutes at Fajr, 15 minutes at Dhuhr, 15 minutes at Asr, 15 minutes at Maghrib, 15 minutes at Isha. We cannot spend 1 hour and 15 minutes in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having love for the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, having love for the masajid, is a sign of iman. Frequenting your visits to the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and spending maximum time in the masajid, this is a sign of iman. إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الرَّجُلَ يَعْتَادُ الْمَسَاجِدِ فَاشْهَدُوا لَهُ بِالْإِيمَانِ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when you see a person who frequents his visit to the masajid, then you must bear witness that he is a firm mu'min. There is no doubt in his iman. He cannot be a munafiq. أَحَبُّ الْبِلَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ مَسَاجِدُهَا. The most beloved places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the masajid. Why should not masajid be the most beloved places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when they are erected and constructed only for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? إِنَّمَا بُنِيَتِ الْمَسَاجِدُ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the masajid are erected, the masajid are constructed only for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only those actions are permissible, only those deeds are permissible in the masajid which are related to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learning, teaching, Quran, ahadith, seerah, fiqh, performing salat, recitation of the Quran, tasbih, tahleel, tahmeed, takbir, all these devotions are related to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they are permissible. Anything other than that is not permissible within the vicinity of the masjid, within the four walls of the masjid. In a hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that portion of the earth where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered for a few moments shines. for the people of the heavens, just as the stars shine for the people of the earth in a dark night. So when the malaika look at the earth from the heavens, everything is pitch dark. That portion illuminates where a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remembers Allah through tahleel, through tahmeed, through takbir, through tasbih. Remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through dua. Remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through salat. Remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through tilawat. And that portion of the earth where a servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a few moments becomes so precious that even the heavens, despite their highness and greatness, envy that portion of the earth. Maulana As'adullah Sahib, rahimahullah ta'ala, once the principal of Mazahirul Ulum Saharanpur, was a great poet, Urdu poet. He says in a couplet, Rashk karta hai falak, aisi zameen par asad. O Asad, the heavens envy that portion of the earth. O Asad, the heavens envy that portion of the earth where Allah is remembered for a few moments. Rashk karta hai falak, aisi zameen par asad, jis pe do char ghadi zikre khuda hota hai. So when that portion becomes very, very precious, whether it is a footpath, whether it is in a park, whether it is in a hole, it is in a shopping center, that portion shines for the people of the heavens like the stars in a dark night where Allah is remembered. So imagine the value of that place which is fixed for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and where at all times those people who visit that place, only one action takes place, the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much beloved this place must be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I was saying that in my childhood, and even after migrating to this country, moving to Leicester, in my early teens, I remember in the old Masjid al-Nur, you would find people engaged in the recitation of the Quran in the month of Ramadan. Ramadan would look different from other months. The environment used to change. I'm sure you all have experienced the same in the 70s, in Coventry here also. And people would compete against each other. The brothers and sisters would ask each other, how many Qurans have you completed? How many Juz have you recited today? But now, my friends, especially amongst the new generation, I doubt very much if they even complete one Quran in the month of Ramadan. Ramadan al-Mubarak has a special connection with the Quran. Shahr Ramadan al-Ladhi unzila fihi al-Quran. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to recite the Quran to Jibreel, and Jibreel used to recite to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is nafl, it is optional. So anything where we will not be questioned in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not necessary, it's not important. So do we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only out of fear? We don't worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because we love Him? If we carry out only the faraid and only the wajibat, this is a sign that we only fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two rights upon us. One is the right of azmat and the other is right of mahabbat. Haqq-e azmat, haqq-e mahabbat. Allah has two rights upon us. Every superior has two rights upon his inferior. Every senior has two rights upon his junior. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also has two rights upon the ummah. Haqq-e azmat, haqq-e muhabbat. The father and the mother have also two rights upon their children. Haqq-e azmat, haqq-e muhabbat. The teacher has also two rights upon his students. Haqq-e azmat, haqq-e muhabbat. Obviously, each azmat and each muhabbat will be according to their level. The azmat that we will have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be different from the azmat that we will have for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the azmat that we will have for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be different from the azmat that we will have for our teacher or our parents. The muhabbat that we will have for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be different from the muhabbat that we will experience for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the muhabbat we will have for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be different from the muhabbat that we will have for our seniors, our teachers, our mashayikh, our ulama, our a'imma, our parents. But every senior has two rights upon their juniors. Haqq-e azmat, haqq-e muhabbat. Azmat demands reverence. And muhabbat demands love and admiration. Every junior must have love and admiration for their seniors. And they must also have reverence for their seniors. The children should entertain love and admiration for their parents. And at the same time, reverence also. Respect. Reverence and respect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has these two rights upon us. Upon his makhluk. Upon his servants. Haqq-e azmat, haqq-e muhabbat. Haqq-e azmat, the right of reverence and the right of respect demands that we do not do anything that displeases him. That means we do not disobey him, we fear him. So anything that is fard we carry out, because if we don't carry out the fard, we will displease him. And if we displease him, we have not fulfilled the haqq of azmat. So haqq of azmat demands that we do not do anything that displeases our senior. And haqq-e muhabbat demands that we try to do as much of those things that brings pleasure in their hearts. So we perform the fara'id, we carry out the wajibat. So alhamdulillah, haqq-e azmat is there. Where is haqq-e muhabbat? Where is haqq-e muhabbat? We fear Allah. Fear Allah. I do not want to displease Allah. Okay, haqq-e azmat is there. But I do not want to displease Allah, but I also want to carry out this nafal action because that will please Allah. This is haqq-e muhabbat. Where is haqq-e muhabbat? Quran does not mention zakat only. Quran mentions zakat and also infaq fi sabilillah, spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Think, my friends, think. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he used to perform Taraweeh every day. And he used to recite one Quran in Taraweeh in the whole month of Ramadan. Thereafter, it was his habit, that from Maghrib until just before Ghurub, just before Iftar, he would complete the whole Quran daily in the month of Ramadan. So he would complete 30 Qurans. He would begin a Quran every day after Maghrib, and he would complete the whole Quran just before Maghrib daily. So 31 Qurans. And every day he would sleep for a while after the Isha Salat, and just after midnight he would wake up again. So after spending 2 hours, 3 hours in sleep, he would wake up after midnight. And he would start his tahajjud prayer, and he would complete between 10 juz and 15 juz daily. And he would try to complete another 10 Quran in tahajjud only. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala would complete 41 Qurans in the whole month of Ramadan. Is it sunnah? Is it mustahab? No. It is nafl, nafl. The lowest category, nafl. If nafl was not important, why was Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala exerting so much effort? The Sahaba-e Kiram Rizwanullahi Ta'ala Alihi Majmain. Take the Sayyidul Mursaleen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Inna fatahna laka fatham mubina liyaghfira laka Allahu ma taqaddama min zambika wa ma ta'akhar. Masoom. Immune from sins. Immune from sins. Immune from sins. Sayyidul Mursaleen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had revealed to him so many things which indicated that he is definitely a member of Jannah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to him that on the day of Qiyamah you will intercede for everybody. Allah had revealed to him that you will be granted the station of Wasila, you will be granted the station of Mahmud. He was 100% sure that he is a person of paradise. But Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha says, Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqumu min al-layl hatta tatafattara qadama. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would spend night in qiyam, in performing salat. And he would stand for so long that his feet would swell. Hatta tatafattara qadama. Not 4 rakat in 5 or 10 minutes. No. Long rakat. He would begin reciting Suratul Baqarah. He would continue reciting Suratul Baqarah. Continue reciting. Until he would conclude Surah Baqarah and begin Surah Ali Imran. Without going into ruku. 4 juz, 5 juz in 1 rakat. And then he would go into ruku and spend the same time in ruku. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. If nafl, if optional actions were not important, why would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waste his time? Was he wasting his time? If optional prayers did not have any significance whatsoever, why did Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mention virtues of the Ishraq Salah, virtues of the Dhuha Chashd Salah, virtues of Awwabin, virtues of Tahajjud, virtues of Tahiyyatul Masjid, virtues of Tahiyyatul Wudu? Why? Why did he mention at all these actions which are mustahab? If they had no significance, if they did not benefit. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam narrates a hadith Qudsi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the nearness that a person is able to acquire by performing a fard action, a person will not be able to acquire the same nearness by performing any other action. وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَسْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. The most beloved action to me is the fard action, the compulsory action. So if we have a person here who is performing 2 rakat of fard of fajr, and you have another person on this side who performs 2 rakat sunnah or 2 rakat nafl, the 2 rakat sunnah or 2 rakat nafl, the reward of this salat cannot even come near to the reward of performing the 2 rakat of fard. The most beloved ibadat to me is the fard ibadat. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying in Hadith Qudsi, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. But is this where he ends? No. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. Allahu Akbar. So the most beloved action to me is fard. The nearness that a person acquires by carrying out fard, a person will not be able to acquire the same nearness through nafla or through sunnah action. But that does not mean that is where you end. He says, وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ. My servant completes the faraid which are most beloved to me. Thereafter he continues to come nearer to me through nawafil until he becomes my beloved. What does this hadith teach us? In order to become the beloved of Allah, with faraid you also require effort in nawafil. In this hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not say that the one who will carry out only faraid will become my beloved. No. وَمَا زَانَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. After carrying out the faraid, my servant continues to come closer to me through nawafil, حَتَّى أُحِبَّهُ, until he becomes my beloved. Now this servant has become the beloved of Allah. So what will happen now? Now the nusrah of Allah will come. Now the protection and security will come. Now the barakah will descend. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ. When I begin to love him and when I make him my beloved, كُنْتُ سَمَعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ وَبَسَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْسِرُ بِهَا. I become his ears with which he listens. I become his eyes with which he observes. وَيَدَهُ الَّذِي يَبْتِشُ بِهَا. I become his hand with which he touches, with which he holds, with which he grips. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّذِي يَمْشِ بِهَا. And I become his foot with which he walks. What does that mean? The commentators of hadith say that means that I look after and I supervise the action of his eyes, the action of his ears, the action of his hands, the action of every part of his body. He will not be able to disobey me. Because he has become my mahbub now, he has become my beloved. So I look after him. I make him do what is right only. I guide him. وَالَّذِينَ تَدَوْ زَادَهُمْ هُدًى. Those people who accept hidayat and who put themselves on the path of hidayat, زَادَهُمْ هُدًى. Allah increases them in hidayat. Allah pushes them on the straight path. Allah guides them on the straight path. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those people who strive in our path, strive by not disobeying us, by carrying out all the faraid, all the wajibat, by abstaining from every disobedience. لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. We will definitely guide them on our paths leading to Jannah. I become his ear, I become his eyes, I become his hand, I become his foot. Now his condition is such, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلَنِي لَأُعْطِيَنَّهُ وَلَئِنْ اسْتَعَادَ بِي لَأُعِيذَنَّهُ. Now he is so beloved to me that if he raises his hands and he asks from me, I definitely grant it to him. And if he seeks refuge from any fear, from anything that is harmful, I definitely grant him refuge. Nawafil are very important, my friends. If nawafil, optional actions are important, then mustahabbat are more important. And if mustahabbat are important, then sunan are even more important. Man tahawana bil adab hurrima udhiba bi hirmani sunnah. If you have a 5p coin, and if it falls from your pocket, and if you are careless, that means 5p means nothing to you. So now 10p means something to you. So 10 pence is the most insignificant coin in your eyes.
Because 5p doesn't have any value. It fell, you didn't even look for it. It's only 5 pence. So that means the least significant item in your mind at the moment is 10p coin. So that is last on the list. So it is the cheapest thing in your eyes. When 10 pence becomes cheap, then after a few weeks, it will become so insignificant that if that falls also, you will not bother. Because it is the cheapest thing. Now when that happens, the least valuable item in your eyes is a 20p coin now. The same thing will happen with the 20p coin now, the least valuable item is 50p coin. And it just goes on. So if a person begins to drop the adabs, then the least significant item will be mustahab. And if he begins to drop mustahab, the least significant item will be sunan. And if he begins to drop sunan, but if a person is very, very careful about 5 pence coin, if 5p coin drops, he looks for it. If it's dark, he brings a torch. Where is my 5p coin gone? Will he let go of the 10 pence? Never. 20 pence? Never. 50 pence? Never. So if somebody is very, very particular about nafla action, he will never let go of sunnah. If somebody is particular about adab, he will never let go of mustahab. Because if adab is very important and he never lets go of the adab, how will he let go of mustahab? And if he doesn't let go of mustahab, he will never let go of sunnah. And if he doesn't let go of sunnah, he will never let go of wajib. And if he doesn't let go of wajib, he will never even dream of missing the fard. Man tahawana bil adab. Adab. Man tahawana bil adab. One who becomes neglectful in regard to the actions which fall in the category of adab. What will happen? Udhiba. Allah will punish him. With what? Bihirmani sunnah. Allah will punish him by depriving him of the sunnah actions. Because sunnah will become the cheapest. So slowly, it's only sunnah. It's only sunnah. It's only sunnah. وَمَنْ تَحَوَنَ بِالسُّنَنْ عُذِّبَ بِحِرْمَانِ الْفَرَائِدِ. Next will be fard. It is for this reason, those people who are particular about faraid only, if they are late, it doesn't matter. I'll perform my salat at home. If he is tired, I'll perform my salat in the last 5-10 minutes. Before the time expires. And slowly, even I'll make qada. But those people who are particular about adab, those people who are particular about mustahabbat, about sunan, they will never even dream of letting go of the fard salat with jama'at. So I was saying, friends, that fard is fard, wajib is wajib. But do not look down upon sunan actions. Do not look down upon mustahab actions. Do not look down upon nafla actions. Do not look down upon the adab. Why? Because they are important. If they were not important, why did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam exert effort in conveying the sunan to the ummah, in conveying the mustahabbat to the ummah, in conveying the adab to the ummah? We learn adab from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the actions of the sahaba ikram ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. Nowadays we see in the gatherings where we talk about Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people sit with lot of neglect, with lot of independency. The Sahabai Kiram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmain, the Tabi'in, the Taba Tabi'in, the Muhaddisin, when they used to take part in the gatherings of Quran, gatherings of Ahadith, gatherings of Fiqh, gatherings of the knowledge of Nubuwwah,
they would sit with lot of eagerness, with lot of yearning, with lot of want and feeling of lot of need, that I am in need. If a beggar goes to a rich person with lot of yearning that I hope he gives me some money, and with full yaqeen that I am in need, what will his body language be? Is this the body language that we see today in Dini gatherings? So many people sit relaxed with their legs stretched without any disability. Without any disability. The muallim, when he is teaching, enjoys the position of a teacher. And Ali karramallahu wajhahu used to say, "Man 'allamani ayatan min kitabillahi fahuwa maulai." One who teaches me one verse from the glorious Quran is my master and I am his slave. In sha'a atakani wa in sha'a ba'ani. It is up to him whether he sells me or he frees me. What is the mentality nowadays? My teacher is the one who taught me when I used to go to the madrasa. The imam who teaches me every Friday is not my teacher. Do you not learn from him? Do you not learn new items from him? Any person who teaches you anything new is your teacher. And this relationship demands respect. رَأَيْتُ أَحَقَّ الْحَقِّ حَقَّ الْمُؤَلِّمِ وَأَوْجَبَهُ حِفْظًا عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمِي لَقَدْ حَقَّ أَنْ يُهْدَى إِلَيْهِ كَرَامَةً لِتَعْلِيمِ حَرْفٍ وَاحِدٍ أَلْفُ دِرْهَمِي رَأَيْتُ أَحَقَّ الْحَقِّ حَقَّ الْمُعَلِّمِ. The greatest right that I have come across is the right of the ustad and the muallim. وَأَوْجَبَهُ حِفْزًا عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمِ. It is incumbent upon every Muslim that he looks after this right. He looks after this right. He respects his teacher. لَقَدْ حَقَّ أَنْ يُهْدَى إِلَيْهِ كَرَامَةً. Allahu Akbar. لَقَدْ حَقَّ أَنْ يُهْدَى إِلَيْهِ كَرَامَةً. Without any doubt. Without any doubt, the muallim deserves as an honor, as respect. What does he deserve? لِتَعْلِيمِ حَرْفٍ وَاحِدٍ أَلْفُ دِرْهَمٍ. For teaching one letter, upon teaching every one letter, one harf, not one word, upon teaching every one letter, he deserves in honor 1,000 dirham. What is the poet trying to say? The poet is trying to say that we will never be able to fulfill the right of our teacher. Look at the life of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Look at the life of Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala. Look at the life of Imam Bukhari, Imam Abu Dawud rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala. These people did not become luminaries just like this. If we also wish to acquire these achievements, we need to study their lives and follow in their footsteps. Harun al-Rashid arrived in Madinah Munawwara. He is the Amirul Mu'mineen of the time. And Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala is the senior mufti, is a senior muhaddis, senior scholar in Madinah Munawwara, Imam of Darul Hijra, the Imam of Darul Hijra, the Imam of that city where the Sahaba migrated. And every alim, any alim who is questioned on any matter, he would say, go to Malik. Ayufta wa Maliku fil Madinah. Can anybody else give fatwa when Imam Malik is in Madinah Munawwara? Such great scholar, Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, great faqih, great muhaddis. Before the compilation of Bukhari, because the period of Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi is before the period of Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi. Before the compilation of Bukhari Sharif,
The most authentic book after the Quran was Muwatta Imam Malik. The Muwatta of Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. So Harun al-Rashid arrives in Medina Munawwara and he sends a messenger to Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi that I have come to Medina Munawwara, and Harun al-Rashid had lot of eagerness to acquire ilm. He had lot of love for ilm and ulama. He was one of the pious khulafa. So he sent a messenger to Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala that I am in Medina Munawwara for so many days. Can we fix a time when you are able to come to my palace and I can listen to Muwatta and acquire the ijazah of Muwatta? Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala replied to this message. He said to the messenger, go to Harun al-Rashid, Amir al-Mu'mineen of the time. And he said, say to him, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, Al-ilmu yu'ta ilayhi la ya'ti. Al-ilmu yu'ta ilayhi. You have to go to ilm. La ya'ti. Ilm does not go to anybody. He taught him the adab. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi was not arrogant. He was not proud. He did not do this out of pride or arrogance. But if he had made this arrangement for Amirul Mu'mineen, because of lack of adab, Amirul Mu'mineen would not have benefited from those majalis. So he taught him the adab, the etiquette. Ya Amirul Mu'mineen, al-ilmu la ya'ti, yu'ta ilayhi. Ilm does not come. You have to go to ilm. Now Harun al-Rashid, as I said, had love for ilm. Had love for the ulama. So he asked people, when does the dars of Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi takes place in Al-Masjid al-Nabawi? He was informed that these are the times. Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala came into the masjid. The masjid was full with students. Because in the field of hadith and fiqh, he was the king at that time. Before beginning the dars, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi was very, very particular about adab. Each student must be in full etiquette. So what he would do is, he would glance over the gathering. Throw a glance over the gathering. So everybody was sitting with a lot of respect. He saw somebody leaning against the wall or the pillar of Masjid al-Nabawi. Someone far. So Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi tried to figure out who this new person was. And he realized that it was Harun al-Rashid. Harun al-Rashid. Now the gathering is there. The conversation that took place was in privacy. Now this is in front of the public. But adab and etiquette is so important that Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi, from his masnad, from his minbar, he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, inna min ijlali Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ijlal al-ilm. In order to revere Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you also have to revere his ilm. Reverence of the ilm of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reverence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So sit respectfully with the gathering. Again, there was no arrogance, no pride, but to teach him. And there was no arrogance or pride on the other side also. He moved and he sat with the gathering. If adab was not important, my friends, adab, why so much? Why so much? Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, due to this adab only, when he came to Bukhara after a journey, the governor of Bukhara sent a messenger and he said that, can you come to my home, my palace, and teach my sons Bukhari Sharif? So Imam Bukhari rahmatullah said the same thing. Ilm does not go to anybody's doorstep. You have to go to ilm. So the governor, he was not like Harun al-Rashid. He said, okay, I will send my sons to you, but allocate a specific time for my sons. So Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi says, everybody who comes for ilm are equal. They are all talibul ilm. Nobody can have preference here. It was only adab. There was nothing wrong if Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi with a very clean heart and sincerity went to the palace of the governor to teach his sons. But no. For this he was persecuted and he was thrown out of Bukhara. And it is for this reason Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's grave is not in Bukhara, because he was not able to come back to Bukhara. So we have to learn adab. We have to learn mustahabbat. We have to learn sunan and practice. Practice as much as possible. The hadith that we hear over and over again, the well-known hadith, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ مَا يُحَاسَبُ بِهِ الْعَبْدُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَصْطَلَةِ. The very first thing we will be reckoned for on the day of Qiyamah will be Salah. Where is Fajr of this day? Where is Zohar of this day? Where is Asar of this day? Where is Maghrib of this day? Where is Isha of this day? And what does the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say further? If everything is clear, fine. If there is any deficiency in his fard salat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask, does he have any nafal? Does he have any optional prayers? If the angels will say yes, he does have optional prayers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate the fara'id with the nafal. There is importance. Importance. There are so many commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran which are not compulsory. My main aim of this discussion, I had intended to actually go into the depth of Hadith Jibreel, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts certain thoughts whilst speaking, then there must be a reason for it. And we all need to pay attention to it. And we have all come here. Even the speaker sits here with the intention of learning. Sometimes what happens is that through the barakah of those people who have come to listen to the speaker is made to say certain things which rectifies his own life. Certain deficiencies that he has not realized in his own life. He has studied it 10 years ago, 15 years ago, 20 years ago. But he has become neglectful of it. And suddenly, during the speech, he begins to discuss a certain issue and he comes across those things which makes him realize that you also need to rectify. So we all come with the same intention. We all come with the same intention. The speaker has the same intention. And the speaker should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before speaking and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, you are the true guide. Guide me to say something that will change my life and the life of those people who listen to me. We don't come here to teach anybody. We come here to learn together as a group. So what we need to go with from here is that fara'id is very, very important. Wajib, very important. Compulsory, incumbent actions. But sunan are also very important. Mustahabbat are also very important. Nawafil are also very important. One adab we learn from this hadith of Jibreel is it is more preferable to wear white clothes. This is one adab we learn. And the white color is Sayyidul Alwan. It is the king of all the colors. In the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the eyes of Sharia, in the eyes of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best color is white. Best color is white. We have not seen the angels. We have not seen the angels. But it is human nature that when you talk about something, then a certain image comes in our minds. When we think about the angels, what image do you see? White, red, green? It is always wild. We have not seen the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. But when we talk about Isa alayhi salam, when we talk about Harun alayhi salam, when we talk about our beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam, the image that comes in our mind is somebody very wide, whose face is very bright. Sayyidul Alwan. The most preferable color of ihram is white. The most preferable color for kafn, when shrouding somebody. When shrouding somebody, that means when preparing somebody for the meeting with Allah. What is the color? White. So white is the best color. It is for this reason Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam wore white when he came into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Out of respect for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In order to teach the students who are sitting there, that when you go to your teacher, you must go in a manner that pleases your teacher. Dark black hair. Dark black hair. That person had dark black hair. And he had come into the company of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to ask certain questions and learn from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is an indication that the prime time for one to acquire knowledge is when he is young, healthy and fit. That is why Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came with dark black hair to indicate that this is the time. This is the time. Hazrat Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, ta'allamu qabla an tasawwadu. Ta'allamu qabla an tasawwadu. Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say that learn ilm before you become sayyids, before you become leaders, leaders of the community. That means learn ilm in your childhood, learn ilm in your prime youth. Because once you grow old, your memory gets occupied with so many other things. And the mind needs solitude. Solitude. When your mind is occupied with wife, when your mind is occupied with children, when your mind is occupied with business, and then you try to learn ilm, it is very difficult. Mind should be only with ilm. The third adab that we learn is the learner should try to sit in front of the teacher. Right in front. Heart to heart. Sitting in front of the teacher is better than sitting on the sides. And he should try to sit as close as possible to the teacher. فَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَىٰ رُكْبَتَيْهِ. He sat in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam and his knees were touching the knees of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَوَضَعَ كَفَّيْهِ عَلَىٰ فَخِذَيْهِ. And he placed his palms on his thighs. The muta'allim, the learner, the student should sit respectfully in front of the teacher. Now he asks, فَقَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدْ أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, inform me about Islam. What is Islam? In the narration of Umar radiyallahu anhu, we find أَخْبِرْنِي عَنِ الْإِسْلَامِ. In the narration of Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, مَلْ Islam? What is Islam? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الإسلام أن تشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله وتقيم الصلاة وتؤتي الزكاة وتصوم رمضان وتحج البيت إن استطعت إليه سبيلا. This is Islam. Islam is to proclaim. Islam is to proclaim, to announce, to bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah. And Islam is to proclaim, announce, bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is Allah's messenger. Islam is to establish salah. Islam is to give zakah. Islam is to fast in the month of Ramadan. And Islam is to perform the Hajj of Baytullah if you have the means to do so. This is Islam. Second question, أخبرني عن الإيمان. ما الإيمان? What is إيمان? الإيمان أن تؤمن بالله. إيمان is to believe in Allah. وملائكته, His angels. وكتبه, His books. ورسل, His messengers. واليوم الآخر, in the last day. وأن تؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره. And to believe in تقدير. Good, bad, everything is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thereafter, third question, مَلْ إِحْسَان? Thereafter, fourth question, مَتَ السَّاعَة? Thereafter, fifth question, أَخْبِرْنِي عَنْ أَمَارَاتِهَا? First question is, مَلْ إِسْلَام? What is Islam? Second question is, مَلْ إِيمَان? What is Iman? This is Muslim Sharif. In Bukhari Sharif, first question is, what is Iman? Second question is, what is Islam? So, sometimes the narrators narrate it without keeping the order in mind. So, that is not a big question. Iman and Islam. What is the difference between Iman and Islam? Now, we don't have time to go into the in-depth discussion. I am going to be very brief. What is Iman and what is Islam? Iman is believing. And Islam is practicing. I am speaking in layman's term. Iman is believing. And Islam is practicing what you believe. Iman is to recognize Allah. Iman is to recognize Allah. After recognizing Allah, to accept His authority. One is to recognize Allah. Abu Jahl also recognized Allah. Abu Lahab also recognized Allah. But they did not accept authority. Recognize Allah. And after recognizing Allah, accepting the authority. Abu Talib said, وَلَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا. He said, I have knowledge. I know. I recognize and I know. What do you know? بِأَنَّ دِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ مِّنْ خَيْرِ أَدْيَانِ الْبَرِيَّةِ دِينًا. That the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the best deen. But I'm not prepared to accept it as an authority ruling my life. Why? Because I am scared of my people. لَوْلَا الْمَلَامَةُ أَوْ حِدَارُ مَسَبَّةٍ لَوَجَدْتَنِي سَمْحًا بِذَاكَ مُبِينًا. So the knowledge was there. But accepting it from the depth of the heart as an authority that rules me was not there. So Iman is to recognize, Iman is to know that Allah is there, Allah is only one, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Allah's messenger, Islam is Allah's deen. And then accept it as the authority ruling our lives from the depth of the heart. And thereafter, to proclaim. So this first part, believing, that is Iman. And then to proclaim is Islam. Al-Islamu an tashhada an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And once proclaiming, after that, whatever becomes compulsory from that authority to carry it out is Islam. Wa tuqima as-salah wa tuti az-zakah wa tasuma ramadan wa tahujj al-bayta in istata'ta ilayhi sabila. So what is Iman? Believing. And what is Islam? Practicing. Someone who believes only is mu'min, but not Muslim. In our terminologies, our day-to-day language, we can call a mu'min Muslim and a Muslim mu'min. But in the terminology of Sharia, one who believes only is mu'min, but not Muslim. In order to become Muslim, you have to submit to the will of the Creator that you believe in. إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ. When the Creator said, submit, O Ibrahim, he said, I have submitted. And look at the life of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Never did he object to any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never did he ask the wisdom behind any command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Anything that was said, he carried out. This is Islam. Without questioning, if the order comes from Allah and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we carry out. That is Islam. Iman and Islam. Iman and Islam. Islam is actions. Now just one question, and after that the answer to the question, one query. Iman is believing and Islam is actions, practicalities. But there are so many actions in Islam, not only five. So why does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say Islam is to proclaim, Islam is to perform salat, Islam is to give zakat, Islam is to fast in the month of Ramadan? So abstaining from adultery is not Islam. Abstaining from alcohol is not Islam. To speak the truth is not Islam. Why does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say Islam is only these five actions? No, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the messenger of Allah, and Allah had granted him a unique style of speech. These five things encompass the whole Islam, every action of Islam. These five things are titles. Every action, the hundreds and thousands of actions of Islam, are divided into two categories, do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts. When he said fasting in the month of Ramadan, that is a title for don'ts. Because in the month of Ramadan, don't eat, don't drink, don't cohabit from dawn till Maghrib. So do not commit adultery, do not commit fornication, do not consume alcohol, do not consume drugs, do not steal. That comes under Wasawira. That is one title. Now the do's. Do's are divided into various categories. Verbal do's, physical do's, monetary do's, and those do's which have physical, verbal and monetary mixture. Shahadati Allah ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. Verbal do's. Wa tuqima salah. Physical do's. Wa tutiya zakah. Monetary do's. Wa tahujjal bayt. In Hajj, you have verbal devotions, you have physical devotions, and you have monetary devotion as well. So mixture of one thing. Now if you take any amal of Islam and put these five titles in front of you, every amal will be under either of these five headings. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Islam is to carry out all the actions stipulated by Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك اللهم احفظ كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أعمارنا أواخرها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم اجمع كلمتهم على الحق ووحد صفوفهم اللهم أنقذ إخواننا المسلمين المظلومين في كل مكان اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك واجعلها اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلاد المسلمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نسألك من الخير كله ونعوذ بك من الشر كله اللهم اهدنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى
اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت تتوب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين وصلى الله على خير خلقه سيدنا ومولانا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين.